Welcome to the 183rd episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, the weekly quizcast, where two professional quizmasters talk about how to write and host great pub trivia, as well as quizzing each other and our guests on our favorite questions of the week. I'm one half of your hosting team, Quizmaster Lee. I'm just going to give myself one of those for getting through that.
Yes.
And as usual, I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Dane.
And one for me. You need to stop watching so much
wrestling. Why?
You came in with welcome to the 183rd episode.
Welcome to the 183rd episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
It's time. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Happy New Year, friend.
Happy New Year, 2022.
Yes, electric wow. Boogaloo.
You love to see it. We made it.
We made
We're
it.
We're here.
And now we get to do it all over again.
Yep. And we get to do it all over again today with two favorite and returning guests. It's Kristen and Fletcher.
How are you?
Hey, we're great.
Hi.
How are
Welcome
you?
Welcome back to the No-No.
Thank you.
I like that your whole winning team from the Nice Guys anniversary has basically been on the show successfully after your last appearance as a team. It's like you guys are making a victory lap.
Oh, yeah.
Save
yeah.
for Bobby. I think Bobby and Eric are the odd ones out. But you guys were supposed to be on that episode. We couldn't make it happen, but we got you here together today.
Woo woo!
We love it. Welcome back.
We love it. Thank you.
Yes. Glad to be here.
All right. Brand new year. Brand new trivia.
Oh.
We did get a request through our Facebook that said, hey, you guys have had an all easy questions episode. How about an all hard questions in lieu of Genius Night? And I think we are going to put that together for our Patreon supporters. So go check that out. Some more difficult questions over there this week. But today we're going to be asking some just general knowledge trivia. Kick off Indeed. The new year. Classic style.
Indeed, yeah. You know, I was thinking about it today. Our New Year's episode is, I believe, ostensibly like our half-year episode for the trivia running. Because if I that remember correctly, our first episode was like around July 1st.
Yep. I think it might
somewhere
have been
in
the
there.
Second
so
or first, yeah.
This is our three and a half? Two and a half. Two and a half, three and a half.
I can't remember. 2018. I can't remember
either. Okay. So 19,
two and a half.
19 to 20. Mm-hmm. 20 to 21. So three and a half.
Three and a half. Oh my God.
Right?
That's so exciting.
Wait, is it? Then 19,
20, 21?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, it's 2022 now.
July 2018.
Yeah, I still have three and a half. I was doing that based off of 2021.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
I mean,
for what
happens
too.
To all of us.
I had right? to do it based off when we got married because we got married in December 2017.
It's for trivia, it's great to put those little mental markers in your mind palace for stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But before we get to today's quiz, how about we go over our weekly wrap up?
Yes.
Okay, we had our Genius Night this week, quiz number 380. First up at Pointy Bell, Team Pete won by a single point, but they weren't there to collect their prize or their glory, so we gave the prize to Team Yikes, who I guess are our unofficial geniuses of the year, by 1 point, 55 points, Team Yikes, in second place at night. And Tom and Christine, a dangerous duo who started in the back of the room and slowly moved their table all the way up to the front, right in front of me. And I wasn't used to there being a table, like, right in front of me, so I kept forgetting to pick up their answer sheets and stuff, but they were very gracious about it. Congratulations, Tom and Christine, their first time out, getting 50 points on Genius Night. Then, on Thursday, we were at Ollie's Pub for quiz number 381. Death Stars are the best stars in third place with 43 points. Just the Tips in second place with 52 points. And our genius winners of 2021 at Ollie's Pub, Wicked Bad Bitches and Hombres, with 65 points. Mark, how did your teams do at Nice Guys Pizza Trivia this week?
Lee, it was the busiest trivia ever at Nice Guys on Wednesday. Woo! 25 teams playing in-house.
Woo!
Two teams on Zoom. Elise and Bobby were playing on a team together. They had to go to her house and play on Zoom because it was so packed with people.
Wow.
My other friends, Tanya and Andrew, a coworker, and his wife Tanya, came out for his birthday. They had to leave. There was a two-hour wait. It was fucking madness. And you know what?
What?
One man alone won the first and last rounds.
A solo player.
A solo player.
It wasn't Seth, was it?
It was not Seth. No. Sean, Party of One, who thanked me after the first round, brought me his answer sheet. He had very heavy Seth energy. brought me his answer sheet at the end of every round.
Yep. That's the solo player move.
He thanked me at the end of the first round. He said, this trivia is making me think. I like that. This is hard. And I was like, that's my dude. This guy's got good energy.
Yeah.
I like this guy's trivia energy. He won the first round with 18 points and the final round with 59 points. However, Jax snacks winning the second round. So he didn't get to get with the sweep. Jax snacks winning with 42 points the second round. However, pretty nice. 79 points winning the whole evening. That is Elise, Bobby, I believe Christian and some other people. 79 points. Whiskey Tango with 77 points. So, yeah. Pretty nice. Very powerful team. Good stuff.
Congratulations to them. If you'd like to join
Jax
us...
Snacks. What a great name. I love saying that.
The Snacks from Jax Snacks. If you missed out this week and you want to join us, you have a few opportunities to do so. On Wednesdays, we're at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for No Nonsense Trivia Challenge based on your category requests. Please join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. That's at Pointy Bell Brewing Company on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. On Thursdays, we're at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral for a weekly quiz based on your category requests. That's also at 7:30 p.m. We hope you can join us. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursdays at 7:30. And, of course, every week in Cape Coral, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us, won't you?
And we would be fucking remiss, would we not, Lee, if we did not mention our friends Megan and Corey.
Oh, yes. They traveled quite a distance all to visit our trivia.
From Nebraska.
What?
All the way from Nebraska, I said.
What?
They came here from Nebraska.
Now, oh, my gosh.
They did not come to Nebraska just to play trivia. They did come here because they vacation here. However, they did carve out a little time to come to my trivia on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
They came up to me afterward and they said, by the way, we're podcast listeners. And it took me a second because at first I was like, okay, you listen to podcasts. And then I was like, oh, you mean the podcast that I do with my friend Lee. Oh, and I was like, oh, shit. Did they hit you with a question about Leonardo DiCaprio?
They did not. They did come to my trivia at Ollie's on Thursday. They were at yours on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. They came to Ollie's on Thursday.
I said tomorrow night across the street, mm-hmm. Lee. And they were like, really? And
they said yes. They did not make their presence known to me until after trivia was concluded and I had already packed up.
This was the same situation with mm-hmm. me. Yep. I was packing up and they were like, and they were like, you know, blah, blah. I was like,
they probably didn't want any special treatment because they know that if they dropped their podcast,
you would have gotten a couple.
Oh, hi, welcome. Ooh, you know, we lay out the red carpet.
Yeah. But
they played it cool. They played it cool.
They were like, we're listeners. Da, 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 da. We vacationed. You know, we came down here to Pine Island. Mm-hmm. I saw they were wearing one of them was wearing a Pine Island shirt in the picture you took with them. And then Corey's like, I have a question for you. I was like, oh, shit. And he's like, what was the first movie that Leonardo DiCaprio appeared in? And I was like, no idea. Do you guys have any idea?
It's not Basketball Diaries, is it?
That was my guess. Yeah. I went with basketball. I go, all I know is that he was young in that. The answer is Critters 3.
Okay. Yeah,
what? Got that. Critters 3.
That's what? Weird.
I said, the first movie Leonardo DiCaprio... We're having a big audio problem here. Leonardo DiCaprio, Critters 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you're a motion picture person, that's an interesting bit of trivia if you didn't know.
And excellent. Look at him now.
Look at him now.
He's... Well, don't look up at him.
About don't look up.
Look at him, but not up. No, don't look at him.
Did all you right. see this?
I did. I did see this.
It's good.
It was good. It doesn't exactly leave you with a warm feeling.
No, but not every movie is supposed to leave you with a warm feeling.
No, I know, but well, we can talk more about this.
Someone saw it on the 1st of January.
You know, I'm a hater, Mark. I can't. You put me on the spot. Like, what do you think? I'm never going to be like, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah,
unless it's enough. Like Minari,
Space Jam, A New Legacy.
I put it about on the same level as that. Yeah, maybe a little higher.
I was surprised that that was not one of your your top movies of 2020.
What, Space Jam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in my top 25. I mean, if you look, it's kind of lower on the list, but definitely wasn't the worst one that I saw.
Yeah.
Well, we won't go there.
Well, because there were only 25 movies that came out last year.
I saw 30 movies. It was in my top 25. I saw enough to have a top 25.
Do you think Space Jam A New Legacy was better than the OG Space Jam?
Oh, yeah. He hated the first Space Jam.
I know. That's why I want to try to...
Yeah, I do. I think it was a little bit better.
Okay.
A little bit better.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard from a lot of people that the belief is that LeBron James is a much better actor.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest upgrade, probably. Yeah. Even the Looney Tunes stuff might be dialed back a little bit as far as the quality goes, but... Anyways, we're talking about a movie that came out in like February of 2021.
Fair enough.
Let's take a little break.
Mm-hmm.
And
then what?
Then we're going to quiz.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
And we're back. It is my turn to go first. Here's your first question. Only three original tokens remain active from Monopoly's beginnings in 1937. What are they?
Any ideas?
What year was that again?
1937 was when they were originally in the game.
What a year.
Oh, you kidding me?
Okay.
Post-Prussian.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Post-Prussian. There's an apostrophe in front of Prussian there.
Thimble's one of the pieces, right? I feel like that's gotta be.
There's a car.
If you lose the thimble, you just grab a thimble. You're back in the game.
There's a boot.
Is there a boot?
Yep. Top hat.
Top hat.
Top hat.
Doggy.
I feel like the thimble definitely has to be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's an iron.
A what?
An iron.
An iron.
Mm-hmm. And it's like an old school non-electric iron. So old as fuck, basically. Like, looking 1937 as 1937
fuck. Vintage 1937.
Mm-hmm. I might argue it's the iron, the thimble, and maybe the top hat, like, because you have to have something at the top to...
Yeah.
But it could be the boot. The boot. I mean, who doesn't have a boot? I mean,
they had boots in 1937, yeah. For sure.
I could see the top hat being over the boot. That sounds like a 1937 thing.
The car that they have, the model car, doesn't look like a car that they would have in 1937. It's like a 50s or 60s roadster or something like that.
Yeah.
And dog, I mean, in 37, are you like glamorizing the dog at that point, or are they just kind of like hanging out and eating your scraps? I feel like that might be a later addition as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
So thimble, top hat, and
iron?
Iron?
Yeah, I'm good with this.
I'd feel pretty good with that.
The only one, maybe the boot. That's the only one that's like sticking out to me. Like, it could be the boot.
I mean,
but maybe you only have one.
People boiling up and eating their shoes.
Right, exactly. They're looking at Monopoly and being like, remember when we used to eat boot?
Mighty tasty.
I don't know how I feel about
boot
that.
Boot soup. The boot soup boogie.
That's, there you go.
Get down.
My favorite song from 1937.
Boot soup boogie. That's from your childhood, the boot soup boogie. You used to listen to that, didn't you?
I did.
Boot scootin'. You were a boot scootin' little country girl.
With all of my hair was bangs.
Yes.
Yes.
All bangs. I like that the idea that there was just like one line of hair that was like, you know, a half an inch longer than the other.
It's like a comb over. It's all the hair from the back pushed forward and then clipped into bangs. Beautiful. Yes.
That's what you, this kind of hair you have when you eat boot soup.
Yeah.
What can I say?
I don't have a choice.
Has anybody started a salon called Harry Styles?
That's good.
Damn it.
Perfection.
Because holy shit.
Perfection. All right. Do we want to go with top hat?
That one's free.
Thimble and iron.
Yeah.
Yes.
Top hat, thimble, and iron.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
No.
One of those was correct.
Only one?
Top hat?
The battleship.
What?
What?
Is there a battleship?
No. That's a different game, Mark.
Race car.
Oh,
and Top Hat.
1937, they had a race car?
Yes.
Wow, is surprising.
What did cars look like in the 1930s then?
You don't want to know.
A race car, nonetheless. It's like a Model T with like a rocket on the back or something.
Right.
Strapped.
It's like a skateboard with an engine, you know, tied down to the front.
Probably have rockets.
So fast, got an engine.
Yeah, all I picture is like Model T up until like muscle cars. Like there was just nothing else in between.
For my question, the category is in honor of Mark's mispronounced words Instagram account.
Just recorded one.
Anatomy is my category. Nice. Anatomy for you uninformed. Check out mispronounced words over there on Instagram. What is the name of the fleshy bag that hangs at the back of the throat? What is the name for the fleshy bag
I know
that hangs at the back of
because a lot of people think they're tonsils.
I feel like I know what this is too.
Is it the uvula?
Yeah, not to be confused with the vulva. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what's that one rap song where they talking about? It was a Cardi B song talking about hitting the dangly thing at the back of my throat.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's in it's WAP. Very, it's,
that's I want it. You to wings hit that pizza. Little dangly thing at the back of my throat. That's
yes, ma'am. Okay. Whatever you say.
That's a quotations. That's a quoting.
Fantastic. That was not her.
That's telling not anybody an open invitation.
Do we want to go with uvula? Yeah. I feel like that's good. We're going to say uvula.
That is correct. Well done. You guys nailed it and definitely deserve a perfect.
We nailed the back of the throat.
Not to be confused with the vulva.
Did you get a lot of people that wrote vulva? No, did you get a lot of people that wrote tonsils?
No, but not many people got that right.
Really?
I think there was a couple tonsils probably. I don't have the answers in front of me here that people, some people, I would say, well, I can look if you'd like.
I mean, it's fine. Maybe I just like didn't know if you remembered off the top. I just didn't know if you remembered off the top of your head of like what other people had said. I'm curious as to know what. I would think that it would either be tonsils or uvula.
There was a few blanks.
Blanks really, when I go by to pick up answers, people have like blanks and I'm like, just write something. They're like, oh, I don't want to feel stupid. I go, and I know that I'm probably different from you in this way. I do not attribute team names to the teams for teams that don't come regularly. And even teams that come regularly, a lot of times I'm like, when I pick up your sheet, if I see like, if I say like what Asian country and you write down fucking Afghanistan, I don't think like, oh, that team that wrote this is dumb. Like, I'm just like, okay, nope, that's weird. Nope,
oh, yeah,
nope.
There's too many answers to be judging.
Yeah, but I never like go back to their table and go, oh, that was a fucking table that wrote, you know, Columbia.
And some teams just come out to have fun. They're like not really competing too hard. They just come because they like hearing interesting facts and, you know, commiserating with their friend. Well, not
having something to do while they eat.
Sometimes having happy moments as well.
That's not us. We come to win.
And it makes conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? Like there's a lot more to it. But yeah, I'm always like, write something down.
If somebody turns in an answer sheet with one answer on it, I'm not even judging them. No. I might be judging them, you know, for not guessing. But at the same time, I don't even know if they're even really paying attention, which is
But I do always tell them, like, it's better to write down something, even if you make me laugh, you know. Write down something that you think is funny.
Absolutely.
The only thing that does not make me laugh is when people write, these questions are hard, which I had someone write that at the bottom of the answer. She's like, come on, man. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you want from me? What's 2 + 2? And everybody gets the same score.
I will say that Megan and Corey did tell me that they thought that my trivia was a little bit more difficult this week than yours. Oh,
really?
But again, it was genius night. So we asked all of our hardest questions of the year that nobody got right the first time around.
Oh,
so they were really fighting through it. And they came in third place. They beat some of our regular teams that have been there when these questions were asked the first time around. So they should feel pretty good about that.
I should also mention that their team was their team name. What was their team name for you?
Wow, that's a palm tree.
Okay, so that was the same with me. And when I was looking through, I almost said on the microphone, this is probably a team that is not from here.
Yeah.
Or it's a team that's from here that's making fun of people that are not from here. Because I've gotten people off of the plane that have come to visit and they like will touch palm trees because they can't believe it because they've never seen them. It's such an
only
alien
dreams.
Concept. Yeah, it's like this is just something you see when you see something about Hawaii or when you see something about like, you know, some places. Subtropical.
Hawaii, California, or Florida. And that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
I like the idea of a city in California named Hawaii. I'm from Hawaii, California.
Hawaii, California.
All right.
From Florida,
Eric,
Hawaii.
Kristen,
which is in Florida County.
Which one would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Do you guys
I'll
know get the answers to each other's questions?
Yeah, we know all of them.
We do not.
No. Oh, wow. Terrible Thank trivia you. Guests. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for not knowing each other's answers.
Is that a thing?
Well, it's happened too many times.
It. That okay, okay, okay. Like.
And we've even had couples that have come here who have been told by other couples don't know each other's answers that came here knowing each other's answers.
We couldn't help
so
it.
So what a treat.
Yes, I will double treat. We don't know each other's questions or answers, and Wonderful. I'm there going to butcher some words.
Anatomy?
We know each other's Anatomy. Answers, yes. But not the questions.
Which answer would this be?
Jeopardy style.
All right. In Greek mythology, Medusa and her sisters are Gorgons, winged women who have hair made of venomous snakes. What are the names of Medusa's two sisters?
I feel like we had this question in reverse.
We did. Mm-hmm. I think I may have asked this question, but I don't remember the name of the names of the sisters.
Zoe and La? Gorgon Zola?
God damn
Get
it.
Out. Get out. Get
out. You were kicked off your gotcha. Own podcast in your own house.
Out of your own house. I feel like you asked it the other way around, asked what they were. The answer being Gorgons.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, there was something like that, but it doesn't help me at all.
Genius night here. You know, questions that we've had before. How much do we remember? Mm. Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Not doing so good here.
I love mythology. Medusa
oblongata.
And I can't pull this out. I have no
idea. Yes. I know that Fletcher loves Greek mythology, so yeah. I was like, oh, but I don't think he knows this.
I thought he was our ace in the hole.
It's not.
Might as well go with Zoe and La.
We might as well.
I refuse. I refuse to go with those.
Shall refuse.
I think one of them starts with an S.
Eliza. No.
Medusa, sure, Eliza, and Sarah.
We got nothing. We can't come up with it.
Yeah.
Yep. Zola.
All right.
Short for Eliza and Sarah.
That's incorrect. Unfortunately. I know we didn't see that coming.
You stumped us. What do we got?
So I'm pretty sure I'm going to mispronounce both of these.
Sick.
But Sathena and Euphriael. I should have written these phonetically.
Euphriael.
Euphriael. But when I looked at pronunciation of it, it had an F in there.
Oh, okay.
That Surprise. Could have also been wrong. But and the first one is Sytheno.
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 Cool name.
That's the S one that I
need. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Medusa,
Sythena, and Euryale.
Huh. Yeah, that's a fucking tough one.
That's tough. What else do you have in store for us this episode if that's your first
That question? Is the kind of question like, that right I would have looked at and went, oh, I can't put that in.
That's tougher. That's definitely a genius night level question, I would say.
All right.
Oh, and the easier version might be asking about Gorgons, as we've had on the podcast before. It's interesting to think about. And we actually have a new segment coming up that kind of relates to this subject. In lieu of a rate my question in round three, so we'll get to that later. But first, Fletcher.
In what year was the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
You hate a year question.
I do hate a year question. It's so specific. You know, you got to hit the nail on the head, basically. When I first started hosting trivia, what I would do is I would say ballpark it and you can deduct. You guys might remember this. You were there in the early days.
Oh, yeah.
I will deduct the number of points from how far you are off from the year.
Those were the days.
I think now I'm just more interested in getting like correct answers, you know, not doing like extra math when I'm scoring and stuff like that. So.
Right.
Unless it's something that I think you should know the year of.
Yeah.
Like the year of Woodstock or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Woodstock
is what you're saying.
No. No, not the Macy's Day fucking parade. Fuck this thing.
It's an institution, Mark.
It is an institution. Mm-hmm. But it's something that's happened every year as opposed to like a one-time event, like landing on the moon. If we land on the moon every year, we're like, what's the first year we landed on the moon? It would be like, especially if it was in the 1920s or teens or whatever.
Well, I started off hating this, but now I'm kind of like defending it, I feel, in my heart.
You
like,
totally are. You know? Well, I also, I usually go with what decade
that I like that
or
too.
Or mm-hmm. what century? Yep. Something
like those are good ways to get around the specific year.
You're doing a rate my question on the fly.
Yeah, well, I think we're always rating. I think people like hearing our insights into this.
Yeah.
We get some letters and stuff that say we like that aspect.
ABC,
of the show.
Always be rating.
Oh, I'm not criticizing it.
Let's 19.
Instinctively, I went right to the 1930s.
I think it might be before that.
Yeah.
I was thinking
New York is an old city, so you got a lot of lead up. And I think that there were other department stores that had Thanksgiving parades before Macy's. They weren't the first, but they were kind of like the biggest that survived that early era.
Does it make sense for it to be in the 1920s since there was flappers and
I think so.
It was a time of having a bunch of money and everybody doing really well.
They didn't have balloons. They had animals from the Central Park Zoo, if I remember correctly. Animal handlers.
Big Rip to Echo.
Yes. Yes. From the Naples
Zoo. Got a 24-hour ban.
I saw that. You might have deserved that, though. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of people
what
out there.
What I said was, because, so anybody that's not local, it did make national news. There is a cleaner for the Naples Zoo who snuck into a place he should not have been and stuck his arm in a tiger cage of a Malaysian tiger, and the tiger attacked his arm and he was shot, and then the next day he was killed.
Well, I think he might have died that
way. He died from the shot.
He slinked off to the back of the cage
and
died back there. They sent in a drone to like check on the tiger and found that it was unresponsive like shortly after the incident.
And then I said that the person should have died instead of the tiger. There are 300 of these fucking tigers left in the world.
Yeah, but it's a human life, man. I mean, it's somebody's son. It's somebody's
father. He's made a decision.
It's somebody's son or father.
He's made a decision.
Okay. So I think it's not out of line to say that maybe human life should be respected more than a tiger, even if it is a tragic incident. That's my perspective.
There have been a lot of interesting perspectives of like people that I don't want to say choose human life over animal life or animal life over human life, but I mean, it's you know, he made a stupid decision, and let me put it this way. I'm not saying we should put him to death because of what he did. However, I'm saying if we had to choose between one or the other dying.
So if you are responding to this as the sheriff's deputy in question, and you walk in and this man is getting mauled by a tiger, you're going to turn around and walk out the door and just say,
no.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not. I was under the impression they put the tiger to sleep. I was not in the impression that he was killed from the gunshots.
There are a thousand ways, of course, that we wish that this could have ended. That wasn't this way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I'm glad that you are back. But on social media. Yes, we can agree on that. We can definitely agree on that. And he did a stupid thing that,
affected. 1927. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I feel like it would be, what a segue, right? I feel like it would be way before 27. Like if we're going 1920s, I feel like it'd be earlier. Like everything is crazy. Post-World War One, you know, just kind of coming off of that. And
hey, everybody, look at this parade.
Hey, look at all the good stuff.
Animals. Whoa, this rules.
kind of before everything goes to shit very quickly.
Is there a chance it's on like a 1920, 1925?
The first year that came into my head was 1928. Before we started talking about anything, that was just the year that bloop. So that you said 27.
Yeah.
And we did just do our... you know, Thanksgiving trivias and stuff, so it's kind of fresh in our mind.
When was Black Monday or whatever?
Black Friday?
Was it
Black Tuesday?
Black
Tuesday?
Which day?
Oh, boy.
Black Friday is
how
the
marketing. Black Friday is
the
maybe
crash.
It was Black Monday.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Monday or Tuesday, I think.
On a Tuesday.
Garfield would be like, it's got to be a Monday.
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't know.
That was 1929, right? That was like...
Okay,
29. September, I think, 1929.
That sounds right.
It was a bit later in the year.
So having it earlier than, I think having it a good deal earlier than that might, well, unless that was like peak Everyone's really losing their shit. There's fucking rubies in fucking people's food and shit. Like, people just had...
What?
Rubies? Throwing dollars or wiping their asses with rolls of $100 bills.
The era of really good feelings.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's just going wild. Too good.
What do you think? 27, 28? I know you're... Yeah, not too hot.
I mean,
on
I'd
that,
be fine with going like 23, 25.
No, I think I can support the 20s. I think I've come around a bit on it. I mean, the Empire State Building was finished in the 1930s, right?
Don't know.
You can't ask him.
No. But I know that this has been asked at trivia before.
No, I think you're right. I think it was like 1932.
Yeah, it was very early. So.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I could see the Macy's Parade starting before that.
So what are we going with?
We going with 27?
I said 27, he said 28.
Another shitty part about asking for a specific year. If it was a decade, we'd be like, moved on. But now we're like, how's your gut? Is it 63% or 65%? Right,
sure. She thought it was earlier 20s. Mm-hmm. You said 28, I said 27. So let's go with 27, maybe 26. We'll go a little, we'll shift a little earlier for Kristen.
26.
Really put it together. We're going to say 1926.
That is incorrect.
Is it any of the years we said?
No, you completely danced around it. You specifically, Mark, danced around it.
Was it 1919?
No, it was not. You were correct with being the 1920s.
Okay.
29.
1924. 1924. Mark specifically said 1923,
1925. Oh, did I do that?
I mean, you guys got to the right decade.
All right. Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Well, that counted for something, I'm sure. Not here today, though.
Not enough, but something for sure.
Prometheus and Methuselah are the world's two oldest trees. In what states do they reside?
Okay.
Prometheus and Methuselah are the world's two oldest trees. Shout out to the Electric Mud with Methuselah Jones, the hit song.
Quiz Daddy Tommy.
In what year do they reside?
In what year?
1924.
1808.
In what states do they reside?
Well,
did you
the
say
West.
States?
Yes.
And you said they're the oldest trees in America? Well,
the world?
They are the two oldest trees in the world, and they're both in America.
Okay.
In the world. Wow. That's surprising.
The ding dang world.
That's surprising. States.
Okay, well, California has to be one.
Yeah, the redwoods, very old. I was thinking Western United States for sure.
Yeah.
Isn't there a giant, like, single organism tree in Utah?
It's in one of the desert states. Mm-hmm. That's what I think is Methuselah. It's one of those, like, dry climate desert type trees.
I was thinking Arizona, Utah, or California. Those were, like, kind of the three states that sprung to mind. I was 4 years off with the
maybe Arizona
Macy's question, but
I mean, I could definitely see one of the redwoods.
Yeah,
those are very tall.
Which I feel
I don't
like
know if
I
I've ever heard them
about.
Being so old. And the other thing with the redwoods is that they go through a constant cycle of being burned down. So I don't know how you would. Actually, now that I think about it, that's another single organism type thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of those redwoods are actually connected to each other underground through a root system. It's not the biggest one. The biggest one, as I said, I think is in Utah. But I wonder if like that, I mean, to have a name, like a named tree, a lot of the redwood names are like Sherman, and they're kind of more modern names.
Is that it? Old Sherman? Is that the name of that one? General Sherman? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember when they had the wildfire, or one of the times I guess they had wildfires, they're like, I remember seeing pictures of a tree that was like roped off, kind of. That I think that might have been General Sherman.
I've stood at the base of General Sherman very tall.
That's amazing.
Goes all the way up.
That's awesome.
All like, the way
I up. Can't, you, goes it, up, and you know what I found? Goes really far.
It doesn't stop.
There's two people, right? There's one who's like, yeah, that's a big tree.
Yep.
And there's one who's like, whoa.
Hot damn! I'm thinking Utah or Arizona, personally. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I still want to say California's in there.
I want to say California and like Arizona.
Okay.
Arizona for sure.
I'm willing to eat crow on that completely, but
Methuselah. What's the other name?
Prometheus.
who stole fire from the gods. I know that piece of mythology, but not Sethino and Yarl.
Shout out to the lighthouse.
Oh, yeah.
Stole fire from the gods. I mean,
you like my
desert
lobster.
States fire. That's not really helping me.
Freeze.
Should we say California and Utah? Is that where we're leaning? Or do we want Arizona?
I think I want Arizona.
I feel like it's Arizona and what?
I'm okay. Arizona, Utah, Arizona, Nevada, Arizona, Alabama, just to, you know, throw it up, mix it up.
Are we wrong for just looking at the desert states?
The way I see it is you got, like, you know, an old tree that's like sucking all the power out of the other trees, like making a super desert tree, you know, like there can't be a lot of us, but there can be one of us and it's old.
I could see that.
And like all those, like, you see pictures of like trees in the desert and they look all crazy and alien. It's gotta be old, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They look like the things that you find at the bottom of the ocean, but tree version. You know?
But just on like, land.
Like, yes. Just being in such an environment breeds such a unique and distinct life form.
If nothing's killed me now, nothing's going to kill me.
Like, you look at the stuff that comes out of, like, the Challenger Deep and stuff. It's like, these are just, like, alien creatures living on Earth.
So I literally love to see it. Mm-hmm. Let's go with Utah and Arizona.
All right.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Prometheus. So actually, you would have been incorrect also. The two oldest trees, one of them is no longer alive. With confirmed ages, one of them was cut down by Donald Rusk Curry in 1964. 4,900 plus years. Prometheus from Wheeler Park, Nevada. Wheeler's Peak, Nevada. My apologies. And Methuselah, the Great Basin Bristlecone Pine from the White Mountains in California.
Okay.
As far as oldest trees with estimated ages, the Sisters, or Sisters of Olive Trees of Noah, estimated age of 6,000 years in Lebanon. Folk legend also ascribes the Sisters as the source of the olive branch returned to Noah's Ark at the waning of the biblical flood. So if you believe in the Bible and stuff, that's pretty mind-blowing.
Wow.
Okay.
I personally don't ascribe to such beliefs, but that's pretty cool.
I mean, I believe the Bible exists.
Yeah, it definitely does. I've seen it.
All right.
So there you go. This is going to be such
interesting.
A long
interesting. Interesting.
That's all right. That's
great. I wasn't even thinking pine until like the very last second. I was like, we've got to think about like oak.
So when you said the states were alive, that would have been incorrect.
That also would have been incorrect.
Okay. But it's still old as I mean, Prometheus is still trying to. Or
You didn't.
Methuselah.
Yeah,
Methuselah.
You didn't say living.
Okay, I knew Methuselah was a tree like that in one of those desert states. I knew that for a fact.
Right on. Nevada and California.
Very cool.
Okay. Thanks. A Disney question to close out. This is closing out a round, right?
Yeah. I'll leave this to you guys.
A Disney question. What figure of Slavic folklore was depicted in Disney's 1940 classic film Fantasia as a being of pure evil tormenting a village during a night on Bald Mountain?
I can picture it.
Now, here's your mythology question. I'm throwing one back at you.
We got Prometheus, we got Gorgons, we got Slavic shit.
If you guys want to suss this out a little bit, I know for a fact what this is, but...
Look at that.
Oh, can't I knew it. He looked at me and he was like, you know it too. And I'm like, no.
No, that was a, I know it if you don't.
Okay, can you entertain the suss?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got nothing. You're sussing alone.
Oh, I'm sussing alone. Okay, then this is not going to work.
I guess you'll suss on your own. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. I don't know anything about Slavic stuff, and I don't. I watched Fantasia in like elementary school.
I know.
You know the sequence though.
Yep.
And then that giant being of pure evil spreads his wings and looks just awesome in 1940.
Maybe. I don't know if I remember that part.
Just about a decade after the Macy's parade. It's no longer the era of extremely good feelings. That's not the 20s, is it? What was the era of good feelings? That was later.
Was that the 30s?
I think it was the 20s.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, okay. It would make sense.
I mean, it was a good feeling.
Everyone was fucking
with
the
feelings.
Great Gatsby times. Post Great War.
Please miscorrect me.
Great War, yes.
Please.
Oh, man. I can picture it, and I can't think of it.
What do we got? So,
Slavic folklore.
Mm-hmm.
This being is locked in an internal battle with their great other, Beelbog, the god of light, making this one Chernabog.
That is correct, sir! Very good.
Very
Chernabog.
Good job.
The answer.
Never would have come up with that.
Well,
heard that
you're lucky that Fletcher's on your team.
Once he went into the God of Light, I was like, oh, yeah. Damn it.
By the way, miscorrection. The era of good feeling refers to a period in the U.S. history from about 1815 to 1825.
Oh, so we're way
early.
We are
a
way
decade
early.
Early. Or a century.
A century. A decade.
A really long
decade. A decade or two
decade.
Or three or four or five or six or seven, eight, nine.
Closely associated with presidency of James Monroe.
Monroe. Very early then.
Indeed.
Mm. Okay.
Guys, let's take a break, huh?
We've earned it.
Because right. I'm tired. From that first
one. This is our Hardest Questions episode.
Indeed.
We didn't even need to make it that way.
We'll come all back right. with some miscorrections.
Yep.
Some no notes.
I have a no note. I think you have a miscorrection.
I do. And then, of course, what would be doing here without a little second round of trivia?
We're back, and we have some no notes and a missed correction.
Miscorrections, no notes.
All right.
Wow. Mark? You did miscorrections with me. You did no notes with me. I did both of them.
It's a party.
Jesus Christ, party. On all cylinders. Fletcher sat there like a bump on a log. It's beautiful. We all played our parts.
Wow.
For the F word.
No.
It's more about that.
Did you say miscorrections?
Yes.
I didn't. Wow. We'll have to listen to the comeback.
Just as a defense, too. It's more about that couch looking more log-like than you looking bump-like.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for saving me.
Finally, thank you. Maybe I dipped a little too far into the ASMR levels. But.
Mark, you have to miscorrect yourself, I understand?
Yeah, well, actually, Lisa from Whiskey Tango reached out to me about my pronunciation of a word. You know that I usually try to make sure I have my pronunciations down before recording.
Except on your Instagram profile, mispronunciation.
Except for that, yes, absolutely, which I purposefully eschew all things correct as far as pronunciations are concerned. I pronounced the large version of the menorah Hanukkah, and that is incorrect. Lisa told me that the correct pronunciation is Hanukkah, not
Hanukkah.
So, and she even told me that like throat clearing noise.
Yeah.
So she made
the
sure that I,
it's probably spelled with a high.
Yes.
Originally.
Yeah.
All right.
So there you go.
Hanukkah,
not a Hanukkah.
Right.
My
on.
Bad.
Okay. And then we also got a no note here from Lauren. Let me play this for you.
Hi there. My name is Lauren Mayne. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and I'm an animal science major at Ohio State. I was just listening to episode 180 about the castrated rooster. And just a fun fact, there's no correction, but roosters actually obviously do have testicles. However, only one testicle is active at a time, and they're actually up in the body cavity, unlike most mammals. And again, only one testicle produces sperm and testosterone at a time, and it changes. And the reason for this is because it makes them lighter and more able to fly.
Oh,
and actually, fun fact, hens or female roosters only have one functioning ovary, and that's their right ovary. They don't actually have a left ovary. It's reversed. They have a left ovary, but they don't have a right ovary. The right ovary is depressed. And again, that's for a lighter body weight for when they fly. So, little fact about, episode 180, one that can talk, or Captain can't talk. Just want to share that with you guys. Thank you.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah.
So, that's really roosters and hens only have one half of the reproduction system that we think. The roosters can alternate between the two, I guess, one is full and the other, I guess, is just empty and waiting in reserve.
Split shifts.
Yeah. And then, there you go. Yep. And hens only have one ovary. And this puts a little spring in their step. So if you're looking to, you know, leave the ground and start flying around like Icarus, is to go with our theme of the episode.
You should hope.
Yeah.
Is that why I can't fly?
Yes.
Yep. You just got to drop one ovary. Sorry. And then
two ovaries.
Yep. And yeah, then you'll be good to go.
As soon as sexist. You get one, you'll find yourself. Yeah. You'll a little bit lighter.
Yep. Look up in the sky. Good Lord. Is that Tom Green? Nope. Lance Armstrong.
Yep.
All right. Uh-huh.
There you go.
Okay. So thank you for that, Lauren. And if you have a miscorrection, a rate my question, or even just a little no-note.
Little no-note.
You can go to no-nonsense-trivia at gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And we'd like to thank everybody who's taken the time to rate our podcast on Spotify.
Ooh, yes.
Or give us a rating on Apple, Podchaser, or Good Pods. I don't want to complain, but it's been over a month now since we've had a review on any of those. You guys, I can see how many people are listening. I can see how many reviews there are. If every Apple listener reviewed us, we could take this baby to the top.
I do want to complain. Rate the fucking podcast, huh?
We see that you're listening.
I am complaining. Yeah.
And five stars only,
please. I appreciate you, but for the love of fucking Christ, whose dick do we have to suck to get a fucking rating over here? Oh,
look, Fletcher's, apparently.
Fletcher.
I rated this as soon as I saw it was available on Spotify to rate.
I owe you one's dick suck.
I was in the first batch.
But I'm specifically calling out the Apple listeners here. Because like I said, I can see how many Apple listeners are listening regularly. And I can also see the number of reviews. And it is a fucking ghost town out there, okay?
He sees you when you're streaming.
I will say, if you're an Apple listener and you're one of those people that goes, ew, a green bubble, you in particular have to.
These green bubblers are asking you.
Yeah, please.
We can't do it ourselves. We got green text bubbles. We need your help.
Indeed.
All right. Now that we're all worked up, let's go into our second round of trivia here. And I have a beer question to kick off round two.
Suck it to me.
Yes, I will. What beer brand's original recipe is so old that it did not include yeast?
Ooh.
One of the four major components of modern beer making. No yeast in the original recipe.
First thing I think of is Guinness.
That's the first thing that came to my mind also, as well.
Also, yes.
Because it's incredibly old.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, and I feel like, was it on, I've been watching Great British Baking Show, Great British Bake Off, from the beginning.
Great British Jerk Off.
That's it.
And I feel like that came up recently because they also have different challenges where they have to, like, use yeast.
I'm silently cracking up at Mark's joke there. Sorry.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm going to spunk. This show's weird. You know my spunk story, don't you?
I mean, unfortunately, okay. Yeah, we've heard it.
Hey, whoa. Wow, ouch. Apparently Kristen doesn't like to hear about me jerking off. Weird.
What a weirdo.
Is this about my husband? Is this about your failed audition tape to that show?
Yes. Yeah.
It's because you use the accent. They can tell short. They saw right through it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this guy's a really
this guy great. Sounds like he had a British grandmother or something growing up, but not British himself.
Yeah, I think Guinness is it.
I'm sorry. Were you doing a Dana Carvey doing Paul McCartney impression there, Lee?
I mean, in retrospect, yes, I was. It was great. It was spot on, wasn't it?
That was, now that you mention it, that was my poll, yes. Speaking of my poll,
I do want you to poll an answer to this question. If you
I mean, I think we're all pretty united. I went to the Guinness factory, and I'm trying to think if I remember anything mentioning yeast, and I don't think I do. I think that it's old enough that I think we should just go with it, yeah?
I feel comfortable with that.
We're going to say Guinness.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yay.
Yep. So this is evident in Arthur Guinness's Brewer's Notebook, which is dated 1801, right before the era of good feelings. And it actually is an early descriptor of the concept of ground malt in beer making. That was not very prevalent. And it mentions hops, but no mention of yeast. And there was actually like quite a few different recipes in that early notebook So you can actually go there, and I guess at certain special times they will produce some of these beers for you to drink on site. They don't distribute it across the world, but you can taste the original beer at the Guinness brewery.
Cool.
Which you might also be appreciative to know is on a 9,000-year-long lease.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, that is part of a secret to their success, they claim, is that Arthur Guinness took out a 9,000-year lease. They still have over 8,000 years left on that thing, and it's for £45 a year. So, basically free rent these
Smart.
Days.
Smart.
Yep.
Indeed.
But would you give out a 9,000-year lease?
Not
like,
now.
Who's going to verify that? Like, you're going to be paying me for 9,000 years? Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. For how much?
That's a sign here.
Fixed rate mortgage.
Heck yeah.
Inguinal. Femoral. Epigastric. And umbilical. Are all types of what medical condition? Inguinal. Femoral. Epigastric. And umbilical. Are all types of what medical condition? Hey, don't look at your fucking phone.
Oh, sorry. Those are my questions.
I'm joking.
She's just got her microphone on. It's going directly to Google. You think we don't know about those tricks? Us quizmasters know about those tricks.
You're clicking the little speakers, so when I ask the question, it
speeds
it in there. Yeah, don't you fucking dare.
Okay, so epigastric. I mean, gastric would mean stomach.
Femoral.
Umbilical.
I mean, that's your little belly button, right?
Yeah.
That's your lifeline.
I mean,
Inguinal.
There are two things that come to mind for me. The first was an ulcer. But umbilical, you kind of need a while. I think that's like a time-related thing. Like, it needs to develop over a long period of time. But something that doesn't need a long period of time to develop that I think could happen in an umbilical cord would be a hernia. Right? That's like a muscle tear
or in your stomach,
what is it?
Right?
Yeah.
A hernia is a tear, right?
I believe so. Yeah, in the muscle.
Living with a
hernia. And so you could have one probably in your stomach. Femoral hernia, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what ephemeral is like.
I mean, I think the femoral artery.
Right. So that's circulatory in nature, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think hernias.
Hernias are a really good guess, and I can't think of anything immediately coming to mind that would be any better.
Yeah, hernia sounds good. Hernia sounds good. Sign me up.
Yeah. Do it. Hernias, round of hernias. Let's do this.
Give us a round. Hernia.
Hernia is correct.
Yes!
Congratulations.
Yes.
Nice.
All right.
Off inguinal to a good start usually here. Have to do with the sac, the testicle area,
the
groin. I shouldn't
That's
say the sac.
That's why you don't know about
the groin area.
Oh, yes. Honestly, it's I've like lower seen abdomen. It. You know.
I see.
Not. Right. I've seen the word. I'm doing myself any favors.
Is it Fletcher now?
Kristen.
Kristen.
Yeah, why not?
Let's do it. Go for it.
Sure. At least I can do for her.
Thanks.
She opens her phone and it's just a giant pair of nuts. Yes, I've seen them. I've seen them before.
Trevor Smith Jr. is better known by what stage name?
So not a ton to chew on here.
I was going
to
say,
This is known as, you know it or you don't.
This is a white or black.
Yeah. I feel like this funny, is I have a stage name question,
but I have a
Oh, you spiced it up a little bit?
Well, it has a hint with it that I think would make it
pretty
easily suffer.
Trevor Smith Jr.
T-Pain?
That is a T name. I was thinking maybe Ice-T, but T-Pain works. T-Pain, the winner of season one of The Masked Singer?
Blew me away.
Host of the Go Big Show.
I don't know what that is.
It's a new reality show on TNT, reality competition. Guy loves game shows, obviously.
Yeah.
Loves participating in them, loves likes judging on them.
Boats.
Does not like auto-tune so much anymore. Kind of, got his name doing auto-tune, being associated with the Lonely Island didn't help, or didn't hurt, I should say.
No.
It didn't help. No, it probably did help.
Oh, yeah.
He
played
Trevor
Frylock on the live-action episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Yeah.
Lots to love about T-Pain, but is his name Trevor Smith Jr.?
I mean, I think it was just because of the T and made me think of it.
Trevor
Smith Jr. By what
son of Trevor Smith?
Stage name, we can automatically guess that it's a musician, right?
I mean,
could be an author.
We can assume.
Well, stage.
Yeah.
When I think it's of stage, it's got to be an actor or a singer.
That was a joke.
I mean, yeah. Would you call Elvira a stage name?
Yeah,
a persona.
So she's not a singer, more than a stage. You know, name. She's an entertainer, though.
It's still a
role. Yeah, but I wouldn't. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
And probably not Trevor Smith Jr.
Well, author.
Her name's Cassandra.
Actor, yes. I'd say an actor is on the stage.
Yeah, right.
A musician is on the stage. Mm-hmm. An author, not on the stage.
Some kind of live public entertainer.
That was author was the joke.
Fetty Wap. Yeah.
I mean, maybe we can just name rappers all day long.
Yeah,
you know? I mean,
yeah.
Two Chainz.
High likelihood of it being a rapper. Yeah, Titty Boy.
There's many T's going on there now.
Well, Titty Boy is the same as Two Chainz.
Right, that's his
same person.
His alias.
Yeah, from back when he was with Disturbing the Peace.
Stage name, stage
Ludacris
name.
And such.
Let's go T-Pain.
Yeah, we're gonna say T-Pain. Fuck it.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
A little bit after this one's time, Don't Break Your Neck, trying to figure this one out.
Oh, that ODB? Would be Busta Rhymes.
Oh.
That would be Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes. Oh. I was just talking about Busta Rhymes. A friend of mine and I were talking after the New Year's ball drop about music that we both like, and she had Busta Rhymes on her list, and I was like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Busta Rhymes is sick.
Oh.
Trevor Smith Jr.
Trevor Smith Jr.
That's what they were calling him when he came to do his tracks on Midnight Marauders. Come in here, Trevor.
Ladies and gentlemen, Buster Rhymes.
Busta Poindexter.
Hot, hot, hot.
All right.
Fletcher.
Hi.
Hello.
How many anchors did the Titanic have?
You guys are coming up with some
very specific.
Not unsensible. This is more sensible, I guess.
Not enough.
Two?
Slow that shit down. Four?
I mean, it's a big fucking ship, I guess. You know?
Is it possible for there to be none?
It was a steam.
Ooh. Boat. What are you doing to my brain? Wow,
I also think that's the kind of answer that Fletcher would love to see.
Yes.
Like, that's the exact,
he loves to see it.
He loves to see it. But also, like, I mean, they weren't planning on stopping. Is that looking at it too simply? Like, can't they were stop, like, we're just going to get to New York. Like, we're just doing this.
I feel like a boat should have at least one emergency anchor.
Yeah, because there were lifeboats.
Not enough.
Yeah.
It's possible that might not have been thought
too
through.
Soon.
There's
too
one, soon. One person that survived the Titanic is in there with a single tear dropping down listening to this podcast.
I think it was Encanto the other day, and there's like, they make a joke about the Titanic, like a visual gag.
Like, I had a question about Encanto on my trivia list.
Oh, you did?
Last week.
Oh, what is it?
Which country does it take place in?
That I was wondering about that, actually.
Oh, when
I was watching it. I was like, I wonder.
Oh, Kylian turns around. She knows.
Is it Colombia?
It is Colombia.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good guess.
They were originally going to have it be somewhere else. I can't remember where, but they ended up
going to get myself one of those for that one.
Nice.
Yeah. Rubs his hands together.
Because we're not going to get this question right.
You might. Don't put yourself down.
Look,
zero is an attractive answer, but
zero,
it's got,
I love
it's so
that answer.
Stupid to build a boat without a freaking anchor on it, especially in retrospect.
Can we call Tim and Joey?
No, we're not doing our phone a friend episode.
Are they just going to yell at us?
We got enough brains here in the room here. We don't need to be that desperate, Mark. Don't insult our guest.
No, I wouldn't.
Your brains aren't good enough for this one. I gotta call somebody else.
But clearly we don't know, but there's someone that loves boats that probably does know.
And they're probably listening.
I need to channel our inner Tim and Joey.
Yeah.
So
you're closest to them. You answer.
I feel like I've seen a lot of boats with anchors on either side of the front, too. Having anchors in the back seems dangerous because of the propellers. So I'd say we're thinking two. I mean, it was the biggest ship. Do you need more than two anchors?
Maybe that's the other, maybe it's going to be a surprisingly large number, like 16 right, or something
exactly.
like that. And they dropped them all, and it was like, shit, we're still going.
This is one of those, and I've talked about it a couple times, I need to come up with a name for it, where the answer has to be super, super mm-hmm. simple or super surprising.
Yeah, mm-hmm. an extreme, no an answer ground. Of extremities.
Exactly. It wouldn't, I don't know that it would be like three.
Mm-hmm.
It's either going to be like 20 or zero or something like that.
12. I like questions like this.
It could also be we also can't underestimate the size of the anchor. I mean, being such a big boat, it may not need a bunch of anchors. You know what I mean?
That's just a lot of force. I mean, if you like think, even if it's a big anchor, you've got to connect, you know, like you got to connect to the anchor and then make sure that whatever your connection is isn't ripping through the boat and stuff like that. So that's why I'm thinking a lot of anchors.
The anchor's really big. You have to wonder how much the anchor's away.
I think it's maybe 12, six on each side, or maybe 13, six on each side, one in the center, you know? Well, one, two, three. Yeah. Six on each side.
Where were they?
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe on the Titanic.
I thought it was kind of funny to see zero initially, but now I'm kind of digging it.
The whole purpose of it is just to zoom, get straight there, zoom, get straight back. Why do they need to stop?
Well, all right, if you're docked, you can't be just having your boat float around, connected to the dock by a bridge or something. You need to have an anchor to...
Mm. No, they tie them... Whenever you dock a boat, I mean...
The Titanic?
That's a good point.
They tie them up to the dock. They don't drop an anchor. They tie them to the dock. Right.
You're right.
You anchor when you're in the middle of the water.
Yeah.
To stay stationary.
But how many things would they have to tie it to?
When you drop an anchor, it's just to keep you from floating off.
Yeah, it's not probably a braking system like I'm describing with the 12.
Just to kind of keep you on course, but stagnant.
Yeah, just to like, oh, we're going to sleep for the night. We don't want to go anywhere.
Maybe it's zero.
Let's go with zero. It's a fun answer. Come on.
All right.
We're going to say zero.
No.
No! Damn it, Fletcher. Oh.
I apologize for disappointing you,
Christian. I apologize for having a good question.
Once again.
Oh my God, no.
The correct answer is three.
I said three.
You said that it wouldn't be three.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He said it three.
It wouldn't be some stupid
number. We said three inside of it wouldn't be three.
Yes. Three.
And it was.
Three.
All right.
Interesting.
Well, we said everything. We said everything.
Where were they?
On the Titanic.
Yes, I know.
Fletcher, I swear to God.
He wants to know on a diagram. Did they have two on each side and one in the center?
I have divorce papers for you, Fletcher.
Let me see.
Kristen said she's done. Oh, he doesn't know. Never mind. We can go.
Okay.
On.
Yeah.
I just thought who's next anyway? Who's next anyway?
Interesting.
You?
Okay. Are you still looking it up? Might as well get it.
Where the fuck were the anchors on the Titanic? And then Google brings up on the Titanic, and he's like, "Fuck you! God damn it!"
It looks like it did have a center anchor.
Okay. One in the middle, one on each side.
That boat's too big just to have one anchor.
And for what it's worth, they're still on the Titanic.
Man.
Okay. Don't talk about them. Don't talk about them in the past tense. They're still there.
All right. Yep, one's named Prometheus. The other is named...
Methuselah.
I was going to say Aquafina.
And the other ones...
Oh, they're the sisters.
And the third one is just Anchor C.
Music theory.
Okay.
Music theory. Uh-oh. Here's your question.
No
Mark.
Pressure.
Yeah. What term is used in music theory to indicate a tone's quality or color and allows a listener to perceive between two different instruments that are playing the same note at the same volume? You ever think about that? You're listening to, you know, an orchestra play and there's two instruments that are playing the same note at the same volume and yet you can tell the difference between the instruments.
I'm pretty sure it's timbre. Could really be showing my ass here.
Music goodness.
Good osity.
I'm no good for assess here, but I feel like this is something that I try to work on with having so many friends as musicians so that I can pick up on different things that my musician friends pick up on that I don't.
Can I hear the question one more time?
Absolutely. What is the term that's used in music theory to indicate a tone's quality or color and allows a listener to perceive between two different instruments that are playing the same note at the same volume?
Are you guys okay with me guessing timbre?
I am.
I've heard that word. Heard that concept. It sounds like a good enough.
Hi, Kyle.
Kyle knows this. Don't go fishing.
I'm sure she does. I'm not fishing. I'm just saying hi to her.
I mean,
she's my bandmate. She's my friend in more than one band now.
She did go to Berkeley.
She did go to Berkeley School of Music.
But she is not,
she's not
a guest tonight on this episode.
Man, just shutting it down.
I'm sorry, Mark. This is your question, not her question.
I'm going to say timbre.
No. You're so close.
Is it timber?
It's timber.
What
timber?
Interesting.
I don't know that timber is anything.
Timber is a thing.
What does timber mean? Did you say a temper timber?
Temper timber.
I'm gonna have a temper timber.
I had a timber tantrum.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna give that to you. This says wait.
Uh-oh.
That's a baby name. Hold on. Timber is a baby name.
No.
Alternate spelling of the word timber?
I think that they may be used interchangeably.
I don't know. I don't know to give that to you or not.
I think you should.
Well, you're just saying that because you want to hear that. Okay, hold on. Timber versus timber.
Okay.
The fact that timber comes from French influences, its pronunciation is often pronounced timbre with a more French influenced second syllable. Timbre.
Ring the damn bell! Ring the damn bell for me!
Mark at zero.
The baby's sleeping.
No, I like it. You embrace that inner wrestler. I was very excited.
You got me on that.
We can bring some of that energy to the pod. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give that to you.
Your wife told me to be quiet, so I'm not going to bring the wrestling energy.
Yeah, anymore. It is spelled timber, but timbre, apparently, another pronunciation of it.
It's one of those things that's confused me. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's one of those things that's confused me because I've seen it spelled both ways and pronounced both ways. And it's one of those things where it's like, but you said, but it says timber is like timbre. It's like, what?
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Okay. Whew.
All right. Oh,
nice.
What a good way to end the second round.
Absolutely.
Huh? With a little correct music trivia.
And we have our newest segment coming right up in round three.
Oh, boy.
Write my question.
Oh.
Courtesy of Quizmaster Dallas. We'll be right back.
Like this.
All right, we're back, and it's time for a write my question.
Write my question.
We're just gonna use, I mean, well, same I number sure.
I, you know, do we want to take that again?
Do we want to do a new theme for the write my question?
No, we can do the same one.
I mean, I kind of miss how we generated a new theme just on the fly. I mean, it's been 183 episodes.
Well, it's the thing. I didn't know if we were going to write one. I didn't know if we were going to use one the same one. Okay.
We'll see. And if we don't like it, we can always... All right. So we'll just go on three. Just make like a little write my question melody all at the same time. One, two... Three. Yeah, that was a little
right, my question.
That was a little discordant.
Maybe it'll come out in the mix. You
know, the idea sounded bad.
Maybe it'll come out in the mix. All right. We have
it most certainly will not come out in the mix.
And now they have to recreate that every episode after.
Yeah, I'll do Fletcher's part next time and mine, and you do.
Perfect.
All right. It'll we have easy. A write my question here from Dallas. Dallas writes, hey, guys. I was thinking of something that could possibly be a new segment. Nailed it, buddy. Where instead of rating questions, you write them. Given the factoid of information, well, we want to say fact, not factoid, because a factoid implies it's not true.
Exactly.
To show your different question crafting styles. When listening to a recent episode where the question, quote, what was the first soda to be produced in a 2-liter bottle? I initially thought that it was Nehi soda, mm-hmm. Nehi. Wiki states what I remember being told as a kid about it. The name Nehi was to remind customers that it came in Nehi tall bottles.
Mm.
How would you craft this question with the information in order to get Nehi as an answer? Thank you for entertaining my ridiculous request, and I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. This question came in a little bit ago.
Well,
it was last year.
Yeah.
I think that you can use the answer as a little bit of a hint by saying what drink was named after its the size of its bottles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what beverage invented in X number of years was named after the height of the bottles that it was available in.
Yeah, or shares its name with a nickname for a toddler, I think. Isn't that what a Nehi is? Is like, look at the little Nehis running around.
I don't know if I've ever heard that.
I've never heard that expression before.
Well, how? What's the context that you've heard Nehi?
Socks.
Oh, there we go. Socks. Yep. Okay, so there.
Or the soda.
Stockings.
Yeah.
Not that I have like a...
Well, you can
search in my Pornhub for that.
It's okay if you do. It's all right. But again, these are hints that you could throw in, you know, that help you get to the answer. Like, you know, sharing its name with the type of sock.
Well, I think that the height of the bottle thing, I think that the answer can be part of the built-in hint. And I think that's neat about it.
Yeah.
I think the fact that, like, the height of the bottle and you go, okay, well, what the hell drinks out there, like... A&W is not the, you know, maybe the height of the bottle if A&W stands for something. Pepsi isn't the height. And if you know the name Nehi, which I think mostly everyone does, you can eventually get there.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, I mean, I think that using the fact that the height of the bottle shares the name with it.
Right. I think that's definitely the core of your question. Those other things could be hints. How to that point, though, how I was thinking you could frame it is, what brand of soda was named for the height of its bottle relative to the human body? You know, so
it seems a little too on the nose.
I was going to say, I might see it seems a little too easy for me.
Okay. But to be fair, I've actually never heard of Nehi soda before. Really? This. So to me, that was not too easy because it would get me kind of sussing to like put it together. So for players like me that have never heard of it, that could be a good lifeline. But, you know, for you, it might be too easy. But there's a few different components here that you could, you know, maybe craft. So,
yeah, I think that I don't know if you've never heard of it. I don't know if that it helps you much. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know
if this was combined with a hint that said like also a type of sock or something like that, you could maybe piece it together.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know me, I usually angle a little toward harder though. I feel like, it's curious because when you know the answer, everything can sound too easy.
Right.
You know, when you've heard of Nehi,
did we have this here in Southwest Florida?
It's available.
It is.
I've seen it around. Yeah. Huh. I mean, it's a very, very, you know, it's kind of like squirt or
very,
something.
Very niche.
You got to look at like.
Or like cherry wine. Mm-hmm. It's like a very.
Cheer wine.
Cheer wine. Sorry, not cherry wine.
Get it straight.
Yeah, cheer wine. Like it's a very like niche kind of soda.
I mean, you can get it like Cracker Barrel and I think
Mission
Barbecue has it and they're like cooler of like.
Oh, you're talking about cheer wine?
No, Nehi.
Oh, Nehi?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm flabbergasted as well, Kristen.
I've never heard of this before.
It's a it's like a soda that is usually in flavors of fruit.
Okay, like strawberry. So it's like
strawberry really soda.
Bright colors.
Yeah, very, very brightly colored. And you may, I don't know you guys.
Know you guys.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, I think if you saw the logo everything. Or something, that maybe. Like, maybe you'd know it.
Yeah.
But again, it is a very, you know, it's maybe even not even as well known as like Mellow Yellow. You know, it's pretty.
They call me Mellow Yellow.
So, yeah, I don't know if we're going to come to like an agreement on like the absolute best version of this question. But I think we've given you enough here that you could probably craft your own question from the ideas that we threw out.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for that, Dallas. This is a good little nugget of trivia to chew on and try and regurgitate as a question.
And this is also a call out to Justin that we haven't had a beef time question since he's been on.
Yeah, well, I think they're supposed to send him the beef time at beeftime@yahoo.com or something. I don't even remember what it is. But anyways, Thank you, Dallas, for the write my question. Listeners, if you have a rate my question, a write my question, a missed correction,
a beef or time.
Even just a little no note, no nonsense trivia gmail.com is the email address, and 1-929, I forgot the number, 356-6966 is the phone number. Nice. And I will say, I feel like we did have a little beef time. Some of our miscorrections, they could be beef time.
That's true.
But could be beef. What can you say? The listeners like the miscorrection segment. They don't prefer the beef time segment. So sorry, Justin. All right. Well, it's tradition that our guests kick off our third round. So now it would be Kristen again.
Generally, we let.
Okay.
I won't say it.
So I guess this would come over more of a current events-ish.
Yeah.
Interesting. Known as encompassing the qualities of the blues, yet at the same time possessing a violet-red undertone, Pantone 17-3938 displays a sprightly, joyous attitude. What is Pantone's 2022 color of the year?
Wow, okay, this is current events.
Very current.
And this is something I actually usually look at, is the Pantone color of the year, because as an artist, it's good to stay on trend, you know, make sure you're vibing.
Does it really have that much of a, does it have a lot of sway in the art world?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it hits everything. It hits fashion, hits design.
Like, how wild. I never knew that.
And it's usually like, you know, a color from like the previous year or something that's been bubbling up in popularity. It's like, it's not that they like dictate it. It's that they're seeing what is popular. And
this reminds me of the,
they pick their own Pantone from like, you know, the shade, like if it's like yellow is popular, then they pick like a yellow that's close to what they think is in the mix and then release that as a matter of marketing.
The description kind of reminded me of the bisexual lighting.
That's where I thought this was going too. Blue and pink.
Yeah. Right? That purple with the red undertone sounds very like,
yeah.
Has that feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Very uncut gems nightclub.
Yeah.
Or Venom 2, The Wrath of Carnage. Is that what that's called?
Let There Be Carnage.
Let There Be Carnage. Stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Let There Be Carnage.
Someone came up with an idea, and then even worse off, other people agreed to it.
Oh my gosh.
It sounds, I'm not going to say what I was going to say because it's fucked up, but.
All right. Anyways, can we hear the question one more time?
Yes. Known as encompassing the qualities of the blues, yet at the same time possessing a violet-red undertone, Pantone 17-3938 displays a sprightly, joyous attitude. What is Pantone's 2022 color of the year?
I'm thinking like a kind of like the color that her phone is. Here, like a lilac. I'm thinking of like a blue with like red undertones, kind of a purple that's also sprightly. So like sprightly makes me think it's like a muted color, or like lighter shade.
I mean the question is this a color that is well known?
Yeah, I mean like, it could have a very specific name, but
yeah, because when you're dealing with like the Pantone color wheel or what have you, I think you've got a lot of like colors that are like fucking, you know, like horsinthia yellow. You're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, what's Forsa Camp?
Exactly.
It does have a specific name.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm leaving this in your hands because you know more color names specifics than I do.
Lavender, lilac.
I remember seeing a friend of mine, I bought her some like charcoal or like coal. Crayons, I guess.
Yeah, charcoal drawing instruments.
And some of the colors there, yeah, were like, you know, Oak Ridge Gray.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Yellow ochre.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a blue. It's Chartreuse. A bluish with some red. I believe that's a green.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oops. Does that encompass the qualities of the blues?
No. I thought chartreuse was like a blue or purple. I mean,
blue and red together make purple. So if it's encompasses the blues but has red undertones, I'm thinking it's got to be in that slice of the color wheel.
Tringle blue.
Tringle?
Tringle.
What is a tringle?
Claxberry purple.
Mm-hmm.
Blaven Red.
I have to, Blaven, nice. Blaven Red. Hmm.
Coxburn Blue.
Oof. Chafee. Sounds chafee.
Under indigo.
Chafee purple. This is the color of some rubbed together thighs.
Subviolet.
Yes. Subviolet. Deep subviolet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the other one. There's like, yeah, there's like Blevin purple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Deep Blevin purple. Matte Blevin purple.
Muted Blevin purple.
Yeah. I'm Blevin not sure.
Purple Nurple.
I'm not sure. I mean, we can just go with lavender or something along those lines. I don't know if I
sub lavender
get any Blavender. Fancier than that.
Yeah, we'll say lavender.
So technically, that is incorrect.
Wrong.
Technically, but figuratively,
is it figuratively, sub-lavender? It's very
it's very lavendery.
It is very close. Okay. Yes. So the official color is very peri. Peri being more of a periwinkle.
Periwinkle.
Sprightly.
Sprightly,
peri. Bright, peri, peri. Joyous. I okay. Look at that.
And periwinkle has also been called more of a lavender blue. Oh.
You should,
so lavender is very close.
Link to the color in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad you didn't let me answer by color picker in Photoshop. I could have gotten something very. That's close, right?
Yeah. All right.
Very Fletcher. Good. Very peri.
Very peri. Very good there. And very peri.
Who? Was Me. The youngest actor? Oh. Yes. Yes, that's correct. Who was the youngest actor to win an Academy Award?
Actor or actress?
I believe gender, nowadays they just use the term actor for I'm using all okay. sexes.
Within the context of the question, actor is functionally gender neutral here.
Okay. So the very first thing I thought of was Anna Paquin.
She has been usurped.
Okay.
She was the youngest at one point.
She was. Mm-hmm. Okay.
For The Pianist, I think. Right?
That sounds right.
The Pianist. When did that
With
come
Brody?
Out?
Brody? Or am I thinking
of came out right
else?
After The Vaginer.
I don't know what I was expecting.
The Vaginer. Yeah.
I feel like that might
also
have been...
Also starring
the Virginia.
I don't know. That might have come... I don't know. I don't really
yeah,
remember when that came
maybe,
out.
Yeah, maybe it's a different movie.
And you said she has been usurped or usurped.
Usurped.
By?
Usurped.
I think it's U-S-U-S. I think it's... I don't think... Is
think
there an R in there?
I think it is. I think it's usurped.
Usurped. I'm sorry. If we go it's by...
There's no R?
The word is usurped.
Oh, my bad.
I like... Okay.
We're all here
if
to
we
learn,
were,
buddy.
If we were Ursher, it would be usurped.
It would be usurped. Correct.
I like that version.
She has been known to make the booty go smack. Or he is. So Ursher is, yeah. is known to make the booty go smack.
Ursher?
Yes.
So
according
who
to the end of that one
usurped?
Song. Usurped.
Usurped.
Did I ever tell you my story about usurped?
No. I can't believe this is a real story I'm about to hear.
Yeah, this is a real story. All right, I'll tell it real quick. One of the things that got me, for anybody that knows me well, knows that I love crossword puzzles. I don't play them as much as I should. I know Elise is a big crossword puzzle fanatic. It is a great way to learn a lot of trivia. A fantastic way to learn a lot of trivia.
Absolutely.
We were just talking about Bennigan's off mic. One of my memories of playing a crossword that got me really into crosswords was... there was a clue. Oh, what was the clue? Fuck. Anyway, the answer was usurped. And it was one of those, I'll have to think of the word because I don't want everybody sitting here while I try and think of the fucking word. But there was a word that I was reading one way where it was like, it could be pronounced two different ways. And I was reading it as one. And then eventually with getting the other ones, I realized the answer was usurped and I was reading it in the wrong context. I'll think of the word while we suss. Let's not sit here and dwell on it. Yeah. Okay.
Putting Fletcher to sleep.
That's Jesus Christ. <crazy. laughs> Anyway.
Fletcher made his.
Let it be known, too, that he leaned away from the mic with that one. He leaned away.
That's how big that yawn was.
Lick my wounds. Jesus Christ.
That had nothing to do with you.
Uh-huh.
Not everything.
Sure, buddy.
Not everything is about Mark Davis.
Okay, well, now double back and make me feel even worse. The problem here wasn't your story was boring. The problem here is that you're conceited. You think everything is about you.
Either way, it's your fault.
Yeah, tell me about it. How do you live with this guy? Am I right?
It's really hard for her.
What's the question?
The youngest Academy Award winning this, actor. No, I'm trying to think of it.
Well, when you were saying that she was just
when you
usurped.
Said that she was
yeah, I think
usurped.
I think she was at one point, but I think somebody younger has come along.
I feel like that sounds familiar because it was in maybe the past few years, but I just haven't been keeping up on movies as well as I used
appropriate.
To.
Appropriate. I was reading it as appropriate.
Oh, okay.
But the real word was appropriate. So I was trying to figure out appropriate. What is this? And then I ended up filling it in and finding out that it was usurp and it meant appropriate. And I was like, how fucking brilliant is this that I was reading this one word one way and it was supposed to be read another way. And that would have given me the clue to get it.
English.
And I was immediately in love with crosswords.
Ah.
Like, this is fucking awesome. Like, how cool is this?
That's neat.
How's the payoff there, Fletcher? Did that make it worthwhile?
Not yelling now, are you, Fletch? I don't see a goddamn yawn from you now.
It's an interesting story. The yawn had nothing to do with it. Yeah.
And now I will tell you that I know the answer to this question.
Right.
I mean, Anna Paquin, I think, is a good guess. What about dude from The Sixth Sense?
No.
Haley Joel Osment.
I feel like he's right. Like, someone, I feel like it was another young actress.
Was it a voice role? No. Those don't win best actor.
Yeah, I feel like it was...
Well, what do we got here? We got Green Book. What's won some awards in recent memory? Moonlight. La La Land. Well, La La Land didn't win. I thought they did.
They still won a bunch of... I had a question recently about... winners of Academy Awards, and I know La La Land was up there with a lot of them.
I'm sure it won some of the other, but famously the best picture, Moonlight, was supposed to win and they read the wrong name. What else we got?
I feel like it was like a historical, like a period piece, like Oscar bait kind of movie.
Okay.
I can't think of who that could have been though.
Yeah, I don't know. When did The Pianist come out? Like 2001?
Yeah.
I feel maybe
earlier. So she was Rogue in X-Men.
And that came out in 2000.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was before that.
So it was like mid-90s?
I was going to say 95.
I wonder if I'm getting the name of the movie mixed up with... Was Adrian Brody in... The Pianist? He was, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you're right. I'm pretty sure it's Anna Paquin. So we got to think of a movie from then that would have had a younger person that would have won an Academy Award.
Lipnicki.
Little Nicky?
No, Jonathan Lipnicki. from Jerry Maguire.
Jonathan Witwicky.
He didn't win an Academy Award, though, did he?
I don't know.
Some other child actors. What if it's Michael B. Jordan? He kind of broke out on The Wire. I don't know if he won an Academy Award.
I don't think he's.
He was won young an though. Award. Yeah.
What's the actress who was in True Grit?
Oh.
I forget that one, her name.
Didn't that win an award too?
I feel like True Grit won an award.
Oh man, was that Coen Brothers?
Yes. Yep. She would have been like early teenage years, I think.
Is it the Little Miss Sunshine girl?
No. Oh, man.
Is it Hit Girl from Kick-Ass? Was she in anything that was Oscar worthy? I can't remember her name.
I don't know. I don't remember her name either. This is a really good question.
Yep. And it's good because it's one of those that you should know as a matter of pop culture trivia. Like, mm-hmm. this is like, we should know this one.
With a lot of susceptibility to mm-hmm. it.
Yep.
Yes.
I think we just have to go with Paquin and hope that we're wrong. I can't think of anybody else that...
I feel like I've read somewhere that the answer is her, though I don't know if it has been in a time that since she has been usurped.
Yeah.
Or appropriated. Or appropriated.
Let's just go with Paquin.
Yeah, we're going to say Anna Paquin.
Anna Paquin is incorrect. Anna Paquin is the second youngest
mm-hmm. yes.
to win.
Yep.
This is the best supporting actress specifically. She was not usurped. If anything, she was pre-serped. It was won in 1973 by Tatum O'Neill for Paper Moon, which, yes, was a period piece.
Huh.
Paper Moon. Additionally,
Tatum O'Neill.
Haley Steinfeld.
That's what I was thinking of. Yes.
Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
Since you brought him up. Youngest winner of the leading actor.
In The Pianist?
And for The Pianist.
Of the best.
So that
best
one got two.
For the leading actor specifically. But youngest overall is Tatum O'Neill.
Yeah.
So Paquin was never the youngest.
She was never.
Okay. She was just.
She was only ever second youngest.
Huh.
She won at 11.
Okay.
My life is a lie.
Wow. Tatum that was a factoid right there.
In 91.
That's a fact. Anna Paquin. Yep. Mm-hmm. Factoid alert. Anna Paquin never the youngest Oscar winner.
Okay.
Oscar winning actor. Just extremely young.
Yes.
In comparison
second
to
youngest. Second yep. youngest. She's close.
The penultimate right. youngest.
The penultimate youngest. Yes.
Okay. It's time for my last question for y'all, which is an 80s toys question. Toys of the 1980s.
Okay.
Look at Fletcher getting comfortable.
Homonym heroes. Noun endings. Magnificent modifiers. And vowel ventures were learning cartridges for what toy that was the first product to use digital signal processing? Bit of technological advancement in this toy from the 1980s. Homonym heroes, noun endings, magnificent modifiers, and vowel ventures were learning cartridges for what toy that was the first product to use digital signal processing?
Well, the first thought I have is the Speak and Spell. Is that what it's called, Speak and Spell?
The Speak and Spell was the wheel, though, that you pulled, and the arrow. No?
What's the thing that E.T. fucks with in the hit motion picture E.T. Extraterrestrial?
I knew that name sounded familiar.
E.T. What the fuck was he in? God damn it.
Youngest Oscar winning actor?
E.T. Yeah.
Youngest Oscar winning Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore. Mm-hmm. Could have been her.
Should have been.
Speak and Spell or Speak and Say? Or what's the thing that they're fucking with where he phones home?
I try to block that movie out of my mind because I don't like it.
You don't like it?
It terrifies her.
Oh, it's scary to you?
I mean, probably not now.
Terrified her when she saw it as a kid.
Oh, no.
Crystal.
I mean, it's the same thing I have with the peanut butter solution.
That's legitimately terrifying.
It is.
The pure, jelly question.
Pure nightmare fuel.
The peanut butter solution.
I feel like we have heard this before.
I remember something about digital signal processing.
Did I ask this at your,
No, I don't think you have.
Okay. Nothing that I was at. Unless they
homonym
were
heroes is just
me.
Standing out to me. Whoa. What toys did you guys play with when you were little kids?
Transformers, G.I. Joe, Thundercats.
He-Man.
Voltron, He-Man. You know, the usual standard issue 1980s stuff.
No digital shit.
Here's a G.I. Joe throwback for you. They used to have a thing where you could make your own G.I. Joe. You could, like, send in, like, the back of a G.I. Joe. And I filled it out, but I never sent it in. I wanted to make one called Ball and Chain.
Oh.
That was going to be the name of my
cool guy. A married guy. His identity is that he's married.
I joined the army to get away from the old lady.
We're going to call you Ball and Chain. Ball and Chain.
I wish you guys can't remember the name of this fucking thing from E.T., really. I don't.
Leapfrog was later.
No, I don't think Speak and Spell is the thing you're thinking of. Where it's like the cow goes.
Moo. That's a Speak and Spell because it's like the wheel you pull it and then it turns and then it lands on like, oh yeah, the donkey goes donkey noise.
Really?
Babe, do you know what a donkey? Yeah.
Goes a donkey. Okay. The donkey goes. You know what a donkey does.
I just had to make sure he knows what noise that is.
Just had to check in with him.
Editorially, like donkey noise.
I can just I picture that being a conversation you guys have on the way home where you guys are just driving and it's dead silent and you just go Fletcher, do you know what sound a donkey makes?
This is the most clearest evidence that we have that Fletcher watches things with the subtitles on.
Fletcher, I have just one question.
Donkey noise.
Produces donkey noise.
I just have one question. I just want you to be straight up honest with me. Do you know the sound of donkey noise?
No, I don't. Okay. I
never learned. Never make fun of someone who says donkey noise because you know they learn from reading.
That's just how the saying goes.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, that's great. I still don't have an answer for this one, though.
It's something and something.
The Speak and Spell.
Can I ask you if that's the answer? Is it the thing from E.T.? Do you know?
I've written the question. You know, go for it.
I'm asking you, is it the thing?
He's not going to tell you.
So, cartridge.
He never offers more information.
Cartridge.
It's red. And it has an LED screen. Speak and say? Something and something. I can't believe you guys don't fucking know this.
I can't believe you don't know this.
If Speak and Spell is the best that we've got.
Speak and Spell. Speak and Say. Easy Spell.
Easy Speaky.
Fucking.
Magic Speakeasy.
No.
I have no idea.
It's a red thing. It's got a blue LCD screen.
I think you're thinking of something buttons. Later on, Mark. I think you're thinking of something from the 90s.
It's definitely not. We're going to say... What the fuck is the name of the thing?
No, I'm sorry. That's a...
it's the digital signal processor learning assistant.
I don't even know if it's right. Well,
can also we just known say as the Displa?
Displa, yes.
E.T. and all them, he fashions together this thing using this fucking toy from the 80s and a bunch of other shit to phone home. And then they come down and they save him. He eats fucking Reese's Pieces.
Which Eminem really missed out on.
And fucking gets drunk, and then the kid gets drunk in the school.
Awesome.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Cool. Jelly.
And our guess is we don't know.
We'll say Speak and Spay.
Speak and Spay?
Speak and Say or Speak and Spell? Which one?
Speak and Spay.
Which one?
I hear Kyle laughing out there.
Special vet clinic. The Speak and Spay.
We'll say Speak and Spell.
That is correct.
Yes!
Really?
Yes! 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 So what the fuck was I thinking of?
That's you were amazing. Thinking of the See and Say.
See and
Say. Not the Speak and Spell,
motherfucker.
But the See and Say.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. The exhilaration. Oh, this feeling coursing through my brain, my brains and my veins.
His brain.
I'm sorry if I scared your baby.
The Speak and Spell used the first single chip voice synthesizer, the TMC. 0280, later called the TI-TMS 5100, which utilized a 10th order linear predictive coding model by using pipelined electronic DSP logic. So there you go, Mark. Mm. You are absolutely spot on there.
That's that was amazing. Can
spell. There it is. Red mm-hmm. thing. Good the job. Fucking, you see it? Okay. Do you see this thing?
I
red
see thing? It.
LCD screen?
Okay.
That's you, really
the
good.
The way I picked up from your description made it sound like it was something different.
No, the Speak and Spell had cartridges. I don't know that the CNC I don't had, believe that had cartridges.
What your husband just said, I don't believe him.
Mark, if you wouldn't mind closing us out with one last question.
That was a fantastic. I'm sorry. That was great. That was a very
That
good
might
job.
Be all-time best sus.
I love watching you score, Mark. That was beautiful.
all right, what do I want to do here for a last question?
Well, you know, our guest brought questions. I had some prepared, Mark.
And I
have a couple more questions if you need me to ask. I have one
right here for you. What company was originally founded in 1966 as Sound of Music before being rebranded in 1983?
One more time.
What company was originally founded in 1966 as Sound of Music before being rebranded in 1983?
Are we thinking this is like a music player?
Or a purveyor of musical gear and equipment?
Like Guitar Center or something like
Guitar
that?
Guitar Center?
83.
What about Audio Technica?
No, I feel like their name has been their name for a long time, longer than that.
Okay.
What if it's like FYE or something like that, like a record chain? Like,
again, yeah. Purveyor of mm-hmm. something music related.
I'm thinking more like less instruments, but more like commercial, like CD Warehouse or
Columbia House.
Yeah. Is that they did the Penny, 12 CDs for Penny, Columbia House?
Mm-hmm. House of the Rising Sun. What a time to be alive.
Columbia House?
Well, I think Columbia House derives its name from the label Columbia Records, which I think is older than that.
This like mail away thing, though, I'm hot on that. I like that. Like Sound of Music. Here's all these albums. You could have the Sound of Music in your home.
Yeah.
Columbia House. What are some other record stores that were chains? Not Spencer's.
Specs.
That's pretty obscure, though. Are you sure it's called Columbia House and not something else house?
Yeah, it was Columbia House.
Columbia Harbor House.
1983. No. Maxell Tapes. But people were recording other things than music on tapes before 1983.
Before they started killing the recording industry.
I mean, would it be... I mean, CDs would... CDs what a way notes. To market on it, you know?
CD Warehouse.
In 1983.
Is CD Warehouse that big of a...
But then, like change? Before Columbia House and those were doing CDs, it was cassettes.
Yeah.
So it predates CDs.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess 83. Well, there probably were CDs, but they weren't like commercially viable as a format. They were like $100. Like you could get like this one Bruce Springsteen album for $100 on CD.
The early adopter tax.
Yep.
Kind of like the hipster adopter tax
the
now.
Sound of Music.
For vinyl.
And it was around in the 60s. MTV? No, there wasn't.
I want my MTV.
Yeah, there wasn't a. I don't think there was a corporate history.
I want my Sound of Music.
And MTV was 1980, right? Because that was with Video Killed the Radio Star.
Like it was
Star.
Like 81, I think.
81.
You said it was a company.
Yep. They started in 66.
Company.
Rebranded in 83. Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
Because also that makes me think, could it have been 66. Music-related publication.
Like Rolling Stone?
Rolling Stone.
That's been around
what?
Since before 83. Spin.
Spin, NME.
NME's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Spin is one that I think might apply here. Maximum Rock and Roll Circus, those were all around
company since the 60s. Makes it sound less likely to be like a publication.
A magazine
or publication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those are owned by other companies like Condé Nast
typically,
or something.
Yeah, typically, yeah, Condé Nast, you know, it's not the name of the company and the magazine.
Condé Nasty.
Or if it is, it's usually the magazine first, and then they change the name of the company.
Yeah.
To
do we want to go with Columbia on. House? The mail away? I mean, yeah. In the 60s, you're getting vinyls, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, you're coasting on vinyl through until the 80s.
But why wouldn't you just name it Columbia House earlier than 83? I mean,
some sort of internal reorganization.
I wonder if the CD warehouse thing, if that's, I know, I see what you're saying. It's too early, but I just like that play. You know, it's like there's a technological reason why the name has changed.
And Apple. The Apple II was in 84? I'm just thinking if it's something in competition with Apple.
What if it was Apple computers? They were like, let's get out of this music
they've
shit.
Always been, they've always been Apple computers, yeah. But
like something just like in competition with like big technological.
I don't know.
I can't think of. I don't know.
Maybe it's a company that shifted entirely, like, you know, how Nintendo was like a card game company, a toy company, and then they got involved in video games. So maybe that's the thing, is that it's just a surprising answer because they don't do anything musical related anymore.
At that point, I'm completely up a creek.
Yeah.
Newegg.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Should we go with the Columbia House or?
I think it's Specs the best
music
we've got that is tangentially close.
Yeah.
Yeah, Columbia. I'm fine with Columbia House. I think you're on the right track. Like, it's going to be something that's totally, like, different.
We're mailing in our answers for 12 cents total.
Yes.
What do we got? Columbia House.
It's incorrect. The correct answer is Best Buy.
Oh.
Best Buy, originally known as Sound of Music.
Because they sold music before they transitioned into consumer electronics.
In 1983, they were rebranded as an electronics store, an electronics powerhouse.
Before that, you could get a Better Buy somewhere else. But in 83, that's when they said, you know what? We are the Best Buy.
Three brilliant minds like yours. I had to throw you a tough one.
Right on. Well,
that was good.
I would like to thank these two brilliant minds, Fletcher and Kristen, for joining us on this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thank you so much.
A beautiful mind and a beautifuler mind, but we're not going to say which is which.
Thank you for having us, as always.
Thank you for having us. Is this the first no-no of the year?
It is. Woo! First no-no of the new year. We're going to call it the new-new.
The new-new.
The new-new
no-no.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest, by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. We just want to send a special thank you to everybody who's been retweeting us on Twitter lately. Mm. We've definitely seen the numbers going up in recent episodes. Every share helps.
Yes.
And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
We love all our listeners, but we love our Patreon members just a little bit more.
That's true.
Big thanks to our quiz daddies, Brandon Long, Issa, Adam Volk at Esme and Red Crest Fried Chicken, Tim with Pat's Garden Service, and our good friend Tommy. Our team captains, Matt, Mo, Rick G, Skylar, Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, OG, Aaron, David Holbrook, who just joined us in the ranks on Discord, and of course, Gil.
It's Gil.
Thanks to our proverbial light keepers, Grant, Rob, Nick, Captain Nick Williams, Kate, Rachel, Moo, Tim Gomez, aka Mappy1984, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John Lewis, Nabil, Ricky F, Justin P,
Justin. Uh-oh, these are for my other answers. We're going to go with Justin. Pretty nice of you to support the show.
Hey, Justin M.
Justin, may 2022 treat you very well.
Also, we should mention that Lucas is engaged. Congratulations. Woo! To Lucas.
Congratulations. Engaged. All right.
And then we also have thanks to our Rumble Snailskins, Ed, Dylan, Sarah, Fox and Five, Laurel, Aaron, H-Bomb, Lauren, MJ, Steven, Kenya, the people down at We Do Stuff, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Mike C.
Mike Chernabog.
Mike J.
Mike
Chernabog.
Juvula.
And Mike K.
Mike keeps a trivia notebook. That's K-N-O-W-T-E-B-O-O-K. Okay. A notebook. Uh-huh. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, or a write my question or a no-note, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com is the email address where you can give us a call at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia. And on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please.
Until next time, No Nonsense listeners,
have a great year. See what I did there?
Yeah, but hopefully it's not a year until they listen again.
Well, I'm telling them to have a great year.
Yeah, okay, that's good. But they should have a great year.
As you well want, I can say have a great year and week.
I think we covered it now.
Have a great time whenever you listen to this, and then also have a great rest of your day and or week and or month, and hopefully a good year.
Just yeah. Have a good time.
Keep being doing good, but also keep listening.
Mm-hmm.